I am the vine and you are the branches. This is grand good news for us. This is great good news for us. We are part of Christ and Christ is part of us. Those who follow Him are His. We are family. In God's family, there is friendship, a place to belong, a place to be home in God's family for anyone, for everyone. Those who are rejected and sinful, those who are failures and grieving, those who are outcasts and friendless. There is, in this God of ours through Christ, home, family, friendship. You are part of me, and I am part of you, Jesus says to us. You know, the branches need the vine, because it is the vine that gives life to the branches. And this is Jesus' point. The branches cannot live apart from the vine. They wither and die if they're cut off. But the vine also needs the branches, because it is the branches that do the work of bearing fruit. And if there are no faithful branches, if there are no faithful disciples, then the work of compassionate and generous and caring ministry in this community and in the world is not done. You are part of me, and I am part of you. This is abundant reason for joy, abundant reason for celebration. Jesus Christ is part of us, and we are part of Him. You know, I think it was just that realization and just that sentiment that Fanny Crosby and Phoebe Knapp had in mind more than 100 years ago when they collaborated on the hymn that you know so well, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. This is my story. This is my song, that Jesus is part of us and we are part of Him. Would you sing that song? You are a grand choir today. That hymn will appear before you, and we'll sing 2 stanzas of it. John? You are part of me, and I am part of you. I am the vine, and you are the branches. But in this illustration, Jesus does not dwell on that factor, however. He is more concerned with the difficult matter of pruning, cutting away parts of the vine that are not fruitful. He is more concerned with going under the knife. Well, the pruning of obvious evil is easy. We call it dead wood on the vine, and it's obvious where the dead wood is, and that removing it will be helpful to the vine. Obvious sin and obvious evil in our lives and in our world are not hard to identify. And the ways that life would be better without them are evident. But the pruning of the live branches is more difficult, Jesus says. More difficult and yet more urgent. The dead wood cannot sap the vine's strength, you see. It is the live branches, grown fat and prolific, that drain the strength of the vine from its purpose of bearing fruit. And that cutting is painful. The pruning of the live branches is painful. Going under the knife physically requires anesthesia, because if we were not anesthetized, the pain would be too great to bear, the pain of surgery. But there is no anesthesia for our spirits and our souls when they go under the knife. The pain we must bear. We do not like to think of ourselves as sinful people, or as people who participate in the sinful systems of our world. So to have those things pointed out to us and to attempt to remove them is painful. But that is part and parcel of what Christian discipleship is. Knowing and enduring the pain of pruning. You don't get into discipleship without being pruned, without experiencing the pain of going under the knife. Too often, American popular religion presents Christianity as the best deal a person ever had, the way to solve all our problems, a technique to get what we want, a way to avoid all pain and sacrifice. But discipleship does not mean getting what we want in life. Discipleship means that God gets what God wants. And when that happens, when God gets what God wants, it means that you and I lose some of the things that we like. It means that we lose some of the things that feel good to us. It means that we lose some of the things that make us look good and make us look good to others. Very often, our mothers serve as a model of what I'm talking about, of the kind of giving up and pruning and sacrifice that Jesus would have us know about. I found a rewriting of 1 Corinthians 13, rewritten by a mother and a homemaker, and it expresses some of this experience of pruning in the midst of this chapter. I thought that you might like to see it as well as to hear it, so I included it in the sermon notes that you have in the bulletin. If I live in a house of spotless beauty with everything in its place, but have no love, I am a housekeeper, not a homemaker. If I have time for waxing, polishing, and decorative achievements, but have no love, my children learn cleanliness, not godliness. And then here's the part that I really want you to hear. Love leaves the dust in search of a child's laugh. Love smiles at the tiny fingerprints on a newly cleaned window. Love wipes away the tears before it wipes up the spilled milk. Love picks up the child before it picks up the toys. Love is present through the trials. Love reprimands, reproves, and is responsive. Love crawls with the baby, walks with the toddler, runs with the child, but then stands aside to let the youth walk into adulthood. Love is the key that opens salvation's message to a child's heart. Before I became a mother, I took glory in my house of perfection. Now I glory in God's perfection of my child. As a mother, there is much I want to teach my child, but the greatest of all is love. There is the kind of pruning that mothers experience when they become mothers, and we could do something very similar for fathers and for grandparents and aunts and uncles and all the rest. But that's the kind of pruning that is visited upon all of us when we make ourselves available for God's purposes. And there is always the pruning. You can't avoid it. There is so much in our world today that needs to be cut away. But there is also much within us, within this community of faith, and between you and within you and me, disciples of Christ, that puts us at odds with God and God's purposes. Karl Barth was one of the great evangelical theologians of the last century. One of the many valuable things that he said was this: the line that separates good from evil in our world, the line that marks the division between good and evil in our world, cuts through the middle of every human heart. The line that separates good from evil in our world cuts through the middle of every human heart. And so, you see, there is always pruning to be done within each of us, within all of us, even within this community of faith we call First Church. On Tuesday morning, Pastor Candy and I sat around a table with some of our colleagues in Mechanicsburg, and we had a talk with Dave Spotts, who is the chief of police in Mechanicsburg, a man who impresses me very much. He spoke to us of some of the problems he sees in the borough that he deals with every day, and the ones that concern him the most. First, he said, is domestic violence, a rising tide everywhere, and Mechanicsburg is no exception. Second, crystal methamphetamine, a tide that is washing over our country, and Mechanicsburg is not escaping. He said, we have shut down two labs within the borough in the past couple of months. Usually those labs stay out in the country in rural areas. Now they're coming in town. An alarming development, he said. But it was the third thing he said that caught my ear. I didn't expect him to say this, and I was surprised to hear a police officer say it in the way that he did. He said, and I quote, I wrote down his words precisely, there is a general decay of respect that people show to others. People are unconcerned with the harm they do to others so long as they get theirs, so long as they get what they want. Most distressing to me was that when he said that, I knew exactly what he meant. Even in the places where I live and work and the people among whom I pass day to day, I know exactly what he meant. I see it all around me, outside the church, but inside the church too. At times, even among you, the adults and the youth of this congregation, a general decay of respect that people show others. Even here, even among us, in this great community of faith, in this grand, effective, vital church, even here among us, there is pruning that needs to be done. There is sin that needs to be cut out. There is selfishness that needs to be abandoned. There's apathy that needs to be banished. All of this so that we might realize our strength and use it in God's service. Pruning is for the purpose of perfecting the person, but even more so, pruning is for the purpose of perfecting the community, the common unity of God's people. Whatever it is that is a source of pride in me, whatever it is that draws my attention away from the purpose that God has for my life and focuses it on what I would like and what I want, whatever it is that makes me think that I am already all that I can be, whatever it is that makes me think that I or my church can go it alone and can do it all by ourselves, what God expects of us, Whatever it is that draws my attention to myself and away from God's world. Whatever it is that makes my own dreams outshine God's great dream for His people. Whatever it is that focuses my attention on me and causes me to ignore the others for whom Christ died. These are the things. These are the things that God seeks to remove when He places me, when He places us under the knife. And all of this is so that we bear fruit for God's purposes, so that God gets what God desires in our world. And at the end of Jesus' parable, He says that, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become My disciples." And so what are these fruits? What is this fruit? The Scripture makes it plain. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against those, there is no law. Against those fruits, there is no pruning. Let it be so among us that we as disciples, but we as a community of faith, anticipate and endure the necessary pruning that is ours. Endure the pain and the challenge of letting go of those things that do not glorify God and do not serve God's purposes, so that we might continue as disciples and as a congregation to bear the kind of fruit in this community and in our world that strengthens God's presence and proclaims the powerful gospel of Christ throughout our world. Let it be just so among us. Amen.